Okay. We will continue on down here to number 19, the snowmobile system. Al, are you back up to bat here for us again? Kind of trying to compete with Director Kirschman for mic time today.
Oh, I can never win that one, I don't think.
Well, we'll give you some time here.
Okay, well, Chris is pulling up a brief presentation here. Again, Al Nedved, Deputy Director for the Division of Parks and Recreation. Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission, Secretary Roebling. Next week marks the opening of the snowmobile season in South Dakota. December 15th is the opening date where everything gets rolling on the snowmobile system here. So we thought this would be a good chance to give an update on kind of where things are at, a little bit about the snowmobile program and how it works and whatnot. So typically we would have the folks that are more responsible for the snowmobile system give this presentation, mostly Ryan Rayner and Shannon Percy, our two district supervisors that help administer our snowmobile program. Ryan does kind of double duty. He serves as a district park supervisor at Farm Island and West Bend during the summertime, and then during the wintertime, he assists with mostly the East River snowmobiling program with a lot of the grant and aid programs that we'll get into here a little bit. And then Shannon Percy, also assisted by Ryan Fredrickson, he heads up our Black Hills operations out there, out of the lead office in the Black Hills. So both those guys had commitments today that they couldn't give the presentation in person, so that kind of go deep into the bullpen and get me to do it. So we'll, hopefully we'll not butcher it too bad here for you here. But anyway, we got a short presentation here, just give you a little bit of history behind the snowmobile program there. With the first slide, you can kind of just see how the program is funded. Typically, it's about a $1.3 million annual budget that the snowmobile program operates under. There's three main revenue sources that come into the snowmobile program. The first is the $10 resident snowmobile license that each sled has to have to operate in South Dakota. For non-residents, we typically honor the state that they are registered in. So if a state or a sled is registered in another state, we typically honor that. If a sled is not registered, or if somebody just recently bought a sled and hadn't had time to get it registered yet, we do offer a temporary 5-day permit for, I believe, about $40. That could be picked up at several vendors out in the Black Hills, and I believe the Lawrence County Treasurer also carries those temporary permits. So you know, the permit is a significant source of revenue for the snowmobile trail system. Then there's also a 3% excise tax that's assessed on all new and used sleds that are sold that comes to the department for the program. And then the third leg of that funding stool there is the gas tax, which is, I believe, 125 gallon at 28 cents a gallon amount per registered sled. I think it amounts about $35 a sled that comes through DOT to the Game Fish and Parks as part of the state gas tax fund there that helps fund the program as well. So that's the big source of revenue that comes into the program that helps fund the grooming, the signing, the staff, and various things that goes into the program. Right now, the current snowmobile trails fund balance is about $916,000. This is a balance that kind of ebbs and flows a little bit, as you could expect with the differences in from year to year with trail conditions and grooming amounts and operations. As you know, coming off last year was a pretty slow year for snowmobile trailing. I don't think we did hardly any grooming at all last year. But as sometimes happens, you know, even those years where you have little expenses, those are also years where there's not a lot of registrations coming in. There's not a lot of licenses being sold. The amount of new sleds being bought is lower. So sometimes that revenue is not real stable or predictable as well based on snow conditions. So but anyway, the program seems to work with those ebbs and flows. We, like say, after you have a slow year like last year, it probably won't take long before we have another good year and things get picked up as well. So one of the things about our snowmobile program is that we We operate under the guidance and advisory of the Governor's Snowmobile Trails Advisory Council, and that's a group of snowmobile enthusiasts and business owners that help provide recommendations and guidance on how the snowmobile trail systems manage a little bit, on what the priorities are, and help provide some recommendations on budgets and expenditures and things like that as well. So, and then the state association, the SDSA, South Dakota Snowmobile Association, plays a big role in what we do with a lot of the programs and events that take place around the state as well. So next slide. So really, the South Dakota Snowmobile Trail program is kind of divided into two components, like I mentioned earlier. The first one is kind of the East River Snowmobile programs, which is run a little bit differently than our Black Hills system. But the big difference with the East River trail systems is that those trails are operated under grant and aid agreements, whereas we contract with local clubs to do the grooming, the signing, the the day-to-day stuff with those trails that that they kind of do amongst themselves and with their own powers and resources there. So, and then they're reimbursed through the program to cover the costs of a lot of those facilities. So, that involves either utilizing a state-owned trail groomer, or sometimes these clubs go out and purchase their own as well. But nonetheless, there's about 1,000 miles of trails out there that are in the East River program. So, some of the current challenges, I think, with the East River system that we're hearing from a lot of the clubs is, just that workforce and trying to find the bodies and the people to make those trails happen. And especially trying to find maybe the younger group to kind of pass the baton on a little bit there, to get younger groups involved and get them involved, to help out with some of the work that goes into, getting these trails ready each year, and then eventually, turning the tracks on the groomers and getting those out there and grooming those trails. So that's kind of a few things we've heard from those folks on what some of the challenges are there. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a second there. But just to add, we also have three areas in the state park system where we do allow snowmobiling as kind of within the park boundaries a little bit. Big Sioux by Brandon, Pelican by Watertown, and Lewis and Clark by Yankton are three parks where we do allow some snowmobiling within the park boundaries as well. So those East River systems, they're very vital. They help connect communities and attractions in those various areas of the state, and they're very popular. Second part of the snowmobile trail program is what we do out in the Black Hills, and that's a system where we have two park managers out there that run this. We have some permanent staff that do this, and roughly about 18 folks that we hire as seasonals to both do the grooming and help maintain the groomers and keep that operation going. And about 350 miles of trails that are in the Black Hills, which includes a few miles of trails in Wyoming that we operate under agreement with the state of Wyoming to operate those that cross the border there. But like I said, when everything's up and running, those 18 seasonal groomers are following a rotation, and those groomers go pretty much 24/7 and keep those trails up to speed there. So again, the grooming operations start on December 15th and run through March 31st. As far as this year goes, we are seeing some snow out in the hills there. Not quite sure if the decision's been made whether or not they'll be able to start grooming right away. They might head out with the groomers and just maybe knock a little snow down and lay a base down in places where they can. But if next week pans out and we get some good snow, we might be able to start off this year a lot better than last year with hopefully some December riding opportunities out in the Black Hills there, though. There's two events that typically happen out in the Black Hills that are noteworthy. Obviously, the Governor's Snowmobile Ride that the South Dakota Snowmobile Association puts on each year. I believe it's during the President's Day holiday weekend there on that Saturday where the Governor's Ride takes place. And then another neat event that they do is the SDSU Veterans Ride, which is sponsored by the SDSU Veterans Club. Which is a club for veterans on campus at South Dakota State University to come out to the hills and take part in some good recreational activities, including snowmobiling. I think they also go up to Terry Peak, and they do some other things there as part of both a recreational and a therapeutic type activities for them. So that's something we've been proud to be part of. I know the SDSA helps sponsor some of the sleds that they rent for those folks to get out and enjoy that weekend as well. So obviously last year with the lack of snow, both those events were canceled, and so it's good to get both those back up and running for this year. So you know, just some of the challenges that we're seeing in the Black Hills program there. There's inevitably some interaction with off-highway vehicle use that takes place out in the Black Hills. And most of our snowmobile trails are snowmobile only, which means that they are not open to OHV use during the rest of the season. So making sure that OHV users are not using those snowmobile trails for OHV use is a challenge. You know, and a lot of that has to do with maintaining some of our agreements and relationships with landowners. That you know, a lot of our trails do cross private land that we have agreements with landowners. So a lot of times at risk with some of that OHV use is our relationships with landowners. So that continues to be a challenge to deal with some of the OHV traffic that does take place out there. Just the increase in property development out in the Black Hills. There's you know, more housing developments being that they're going up, and that almost also raises the question about some of the winter road closures. You know, a lot of the roads in the Black Hills are closed during the winter, but as development continues to increase, there's more pressure to open up those roads, which can be used as snowmobile trails in the wintertime, but becomes more difficult if those roads are maintained for public access in the wintertime too there. So and then, yeah, just more properties being used for year-round living, which, like I say, makes some of those agreements a little tougher to get that we used to run snowmobile trails on throughout the winter. So with some discussions we've had with the Governor's Snowmobile Advisory Council and the SDSA and some of our staff, we thought maybe now is a good time to maybe start having a little bit more deeper dives into some of these discussions and these challenges facing the snowmobile program here, and you know, maybe start to you know, maybe look at, you know, honing in on what some of the main issues are, maybe with the assistance of a consultant, maybe try to start to do a little bit more analysis on what some of the trends of snowmobiling are, and maybe we can come up with some recommendations for ways that we can ensure that snowmobile opportunities are still out there in the future. So like I said, we've had some initial discussions with those folks. We're in the process of hopefully hosting a meeting here in a few weeks to kind of kick that off and really start laying out the framework of what some kind of assessment or planning effort might look like for the snowmobile program, both East River and West River. So more to come on that. But anyway, I did bring some maps along. I left them back at my table there. Those are just hot off the press for the snowmobile trail maps for this upcoming season. And we do have those available online as well. If you want to be able to check on snowmobile trail conditions, we update those daily. And there's a few webcams, kind of like the DOT has, where you can take some snapshots of actually what the trails look like in certain locations along the system. But so far, things are looking good for the snowmobile trail program this year, and hopefully the snow will come soon, and things will get rolling here starting next week. I'd be glad to entertain any questions.
Very well. Thanks, Al. Great presentation. I know a lot of work goes into that. And how much volunteer work do we rely on for that?
You know, that's a good question. You know, like I say, by and large, our East River program probably relies more heavily on the volunteer labor than the paid staff that does most of the Black Hills grooming. But you know, it probably varies greatly from year to year, and you know, some clubs maybe in different regions of the state. It seems like, you know, obviously our clubs in the northeastern part of the state, the you know, by Watertown and further north there, those trails probably get a little bit more a range of use out of them than maybe some of the other ones. But the weather definitely depends on that, but I could probably look into that a little bit more.
Commissioner Beast.
Commissioner Beast got a couple questions here. Is that $916,000, is that budgeted or carried over money from previous years?
Through the chair. That is carryover. Yep. That's the balance that we're holding in that account from the last fiscal year, correct.
And then second, when you have one of these housing developments and stuff pop up, to change the route of the trail, is there a permitting process through the Forest Service to do that with EIS? Environmental impact studies and stuff like that you have to go through?
Through the chair. Yeah, typically, you know, the routes that are impacted or follow Forest Service property, yes, we work annually with the Forest Service on proposed reroutes and changes to the system there. And typically, it does not require a, you know, like a full-blown EA or anything like that. It is incorporated into the Forest Master Plan and environmental process. So it, unless it involves a really drastic change, I'm not aware of any significant environmental process that goes into that. But then the areas where the trails cross the private property, you know, that's where we got to work hand-in-hand with those landowners and those folks to come up with an agreement on access and how that trail can route through their property.
And since you brought that up, is there any type of compensation to them landowners or just a permission agreement for them to let you access?
You know, through the chair, I'm kind of unsure. You know, there might be some that do have some compensation tied to them. I don't know that for certain. I'd have to maybe check with our guys out there to see which ones do and which ones don't. But we have talked about you know, if there ever, you know, in cases where we might exact an easement or something like that, that yes, we would compensate them on something that goes beyond just an annual agreement.
Any other questions for Al? Okay, thanks, Al.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. We'll move on now. Winter Parks and Rec Opportunities, April, you're going to do that one, aren't you? Great, welcome.